Let's read together Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 42. In these verses, we have the record of the ongoing ministry of the apostles in the early days of the church. Let's begin by reading verses 12 through 32. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. In the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 5, we have the record of the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. They died because they had lied to the Holy Spirit by pretending to have sold a piece of land for so much money and giving it to the church, when in reality, they sold it for more and kept the difference for themselves. Their sin was not in selling the land and keeping the profit, but in lying about it and hypocritically pretending that they were giving all to the Lord, when in actuality they were not giving all to the Lord. You know, many believers today make it appear that they are giving to the Lord a much larger proportion of their income and investments than they really are giving. Many Christians have much more in savings and much more net worth, much, much more, even though the record of their giving seems to indicate that they are sacrificing. Well, as a result of the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira, great fear came upon the church, and rightly so. Verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. The purity of the early church was maintained, and a clear line was drawn between who was a believer and who was not a believer. Notice verse 13. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. In other words, no one was jumping on the bandwagon of Christianity at this point. The deaths of Ananias and Sapphira kept the hypocrites and nominal believers away. However, those of true faith continued to believe, and the church continued to grow in numbers. Verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Acts chapter 5. So doctrinal point number one. There was a period of extraordinary miracles in the early church. There was a period of extraordinary miracles in the early church. Did you realize that the miracles in the Bible happen in clusters? Do you realize that? Some Christians think that spectacular miracles were taking place every day in Bible days. Not so. They happen in clusters. There was the cluster of miracles, obviously, at the time of creation. And there was a cluster of miracles at the time of the Exodus and conquest. And there was a cluster of spectacular miracles at the time of Elijah and Elisha. And there was a cluster of miracles at the time of Daniel. And then we have the great cluster of miracles at the time of our Lord and his apostles that extended into the time of the early church. That's where we are now. And there will be a great cluster of miracles in the end time. Here in the book of Acts, at the time of the early church, we are in one of these biblical clusters of miracles. The reason for this cluster of miracles was to demonstrate the power of God and give divine authority to the apostles and confirm the word of God that they were preaching. We read in verses 15 and 16 that sick people were being carried into the streets so that Peter's shadow might fall on them. Now we know it wasn't Peter's shadow that was doing the healing. God did the healing. The same is true in Acts chapter 19, verse 12, where handkerchiefs were carried from Paul to the sick and people were healed. God did the healing. So there was a period of amazing miracles that took place at the time of the early church. And remember that Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was a medical doctor. So he would have certainly recognized what were true healings and not just psychosomatic cures. There was a period of extraordinary miracles in the early church. Doctrinal point number two, believers must obey God rather than men. Believers must obey God rather than men. After the apostles were thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, an angel of the Lord opened the prison gates and told them to go back to the temple and continue preaching the message of life. You know, I find it humorous that the angel must have gone back and locked the gate after the apostles had left to further confound the authorities, as we see in verse 23, verses 22 and 23. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Isn't that interesting? The angel opened the gates for the apostles. They came out. Well, the angel must have gone back and locked the gates again just to further confound the authorities. Well, I find that humorous. When the apostles were brought before the council, that would be the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, they were questioned as to why they had disobeyed orders and continued to teach and preach about Jesus. Peter's response in verse 29 is very significant. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. God is the higher authority. So in this case, it was right to disobey the lower authority." And you know, the same is true today. Normally, we obey the governing authorities. We pay our taxes and obey the speed limit. But when the governing authorities command us to do something that God says is wrong, or command us not to do something that God says is right, then we must obey God and disobey the lower authority. Now, in disobeying the lower authority, we don't shoot the police that come to arrest us. And we do go to prison if that's where the governing authorities send us. In other words, we are still subject to the governing authorities that we disobey. Now, not all Christians are agreed as to when to practice civil disobedience. If the government said, "You can't be a Christian," then obviously we disobey. But what about smuggling Bibles? What about secret meetings when the government says no church meetings? What about not paying a tax specifically designated for abortion, for example? It's not always easy to decide. But the principle remains, Believers must obey God rather than men. Doctrinal point number three. Reaction to the gospel ranges from Saul type to Gamaliel type. Reaction to the gospel ranges from Saul type to Gamaliel type. Verses 33 through 40. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Judas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Gamaliel was a well-known rabbi. Before Paul became a Christian, as Saul of Tarsus, he studied under Gamaliel. But the reactions of Saul and Gamaliel to the gospel and Christianity were completely different. Saul was convinced at first that Christianity was not of God, and therefore the only logical thing to do was kill Christians, and he did. Gamaliel, on the other hand, was more passive. Let Christianity run its course. If it's not of God, it will die out, as in the case of a certain Judas and also Judas from Galilee. If it is of God, let's not fight it, because we'll be fighting God. Well, you know, we can expect to find the same diverse reactions to the gospel today. Some unbelievers are adamantly opposed to the gospel and Christianity. Some unbelievers take a live and let live attitude. Reaction to the gospel ranges from Saul type to Gamaliel type. So what do we do in view of such a range of reactions? Well, that brings us to our practical application. Keep right on teaching and preaching. Keep right on teaching and preaching. Verses 41 and 42. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. In spite of the external persecution and internal problems, and in spite of mixed reactions to the gospel, the apostles kept on teaching and preaching. And so should we. We will face the same problems that the apostles faced at varying levels of intensity. So what do? We just keep right on teaching and preaching.